Let's go to Hebrews 10 and just park there for a moment, and we may get there. We're going to do an introduction today, and then we're going to probably, for the next little while, you know, Passover, Pesach is going to be here before we know it. I mean, it's right here on us. And Tammy was listening to Halisa this morning amongst probably 30 other people. But anyway, she gets ready. But there was one thing that I heard Halisa say as I was getting ready, and it's this, that whenever we do Pesach and unleavened bread, and when we're doing the Seder, the reason why we do it is to put us there. It's got to be real to us. If you're going to Pesach or Passover and you're just eating a meal and you're just going to go home, you missed it. Think about this. Abraham, whenever he got the blessing in Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, and he told, Yahweh told Abraham, in you, you will be a father of many nations. But also he said, in you, all the nations will be blessed. So guess what? Whether you're natural or whether you're grafted in, you're a part. And the whole idea about Passover, Pesach, as well as all of the other appointed times, as well as really Shabbat, every Sabbath, we have a stake in this. We're not here just doing something. We're here because it's a part of us. And so whenever that very first Passover that happened, as well as all of the Pesachs that happened after that, whenever the tabernacle was standing in Shiloh all of those years, you know, you're a part of that. And that's what this is about. So I'm going to, hopefully these next couple of weeks or however this goes, the main focus is let us draw near. I think what has happened as a whole, this is the tabernacle here. I just put this up here, just a little picture. We're going to be talking about two different altars. One is the brazen altar, which is out here to the left, which is acacia wood and bronze. There's a laver. The other one is the altar of incense that's standing before the curtain, before the Ark of the Covenant. So these are the two altars that we're going to get into sometime, probably maybe next week or however this goes. But what I wanted to show you and tell you is this. And I was telling Tammy, the best way for me to try to explain this is all the body of Messiah, whether you know about his laws or commandments or not, whether you know his Hebrew name or not, whatever, however, the whole body of Messiah, okay, all of us rolled into one, have to understand that there's one law for Israel and for the sojourners. So guess what? There's one Yeshua for us all, and there's one way to do this. Now, I can tell you, and I think we can all agree, that we're all falling short of all of us being in one mind and one accord in unity, okay? But you have to know this. He is bringing us to that place of unity. I like what Tyler said, and he's right, about the plagues that came to Egypt. When it first came, it affected everybody. Then comes the separation. Then comes the distinction. When I see what's happening in Washington this last week, I can see a separation. I can see people that are supposed to be representing flat out just tell you a lie and smile and just think you're an idiot. It's like, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? It's like, are you for real? You know, and it's just there. So it is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I mean, they think that we are idiots, really. What I'm saying is now let's bring it to the church world as a whole. Church world in whole is in the same boat. There's so many different beliefs. There's so many different ways. And the Father, somehow or another, he's going to cause that distinction. And there's one way to do it, and that's to bring the plagues of Egypt. It's to bring something to put pressure on his body to cause them to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to live by this book or not? You know, I was talking to Ben the other day, Ben Merritt. He was sitting here. He was telling me something. Right now he's out of work. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little pressure for us to make a decision of what we're going to do in our walk. Are we going to hang in there? Are we going to believe? Or what are we going to do? When it comes to job and it comes to, I mean, because he has a place in a ministry here, you know, and that's what he was saying. This is important. What is the first calling? I have to believe that the Father is going to give me that job where I can fulfill what I need to do here, that He's called me to do. And I appreciated that, because the thing is it takes pressure. It takes, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? It takes something. It takes sacrifice to do it. And then it takes a congregation and a people to help people through the rough times. So thankful for Ralph to be able to get the short-term disability that he got. But do you know what? It takes the family, it takes the body until something like that kicks in for us to stand up. Because rent still has to be paid. You know, he doesn't feel like eating a lot. But still, there has to be a little food. There's, you know what I'm saying? And this is what this body's been really faithful to do, is to step up in times of crisis in people's life. But the body as a whole is not doing that. Our government as a whole is not doing that. But the Father is going to separate the sheep from the goats, and He is going to, the remnant of Messiah is going to arise in these last days. But guys, we have to go through the testing and the trials to make sure that we're ready for the task, and that's what this is about. This is why I'm saying, when it comes to these feasts and festivals, if you're doing them just because it's a good thing to do, that's the wrong motive. We're having to do them because, number one, He commands us to, and another is because He says, remember, remember, remember. It is about us being, we have to put ourselves in that, we have to put ourselves in the story. We have to be there in the story every walk of the way from Egypt all the way to Yeshua, all the way to the resurrection. We have to be a part of that. We have to own that. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19 says this. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart, with fullness of faith, and our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, this scripture has been read, and people use this. Now, I want to say this before I get really started in this introduction. Namit had a testimony up here, and I want to tell you this. We are to have a prayer life. It's not just prayer times, okay? That way, if you're in a prayer life, and she will tell you, and I understand these mothers that have little ones, sometimes it's hard to study, to read, to dig out, and to pray when you have the little ones pulling on you. But that's the season that you're in, and the Father knows that, and He understands that. He's not going to put you to the side because you're not checking off. This is our life. He tells us to be fruitful and multiply, and He wants to be able to speak in our life. So I want to tell you this, that when you get the unction to pray, pray. When you get the unction of the Holy Spirit to go into intercession, go into intercession. But what I want to talk about today for the body of Messiah as a whole, how do we get into the holies of holies? See, that's where the Ark of the Covenant, that's where His presence is. I really love this. I'm going to show later, probably in another slide, not today. But when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, and sitting on the Ark of the Covenant are what? Two cherubims. And they're facing and they're covering. Do you know the last time that we saw two cherubim? What were they doing? They were in the garden with a flaming sword guarding the gate back in. So you see, one, they were repelling. Now the Father is saying, come in. And there's a time and a place for this. Let us draw near. Most of us, we would say that we want to be in His presence. Amen? We want to be in His presence. But now I have to say this. You can't come in just any old way you want to. This is what this teaching is about. Proverbs 28, 7 and then verse 9 also, it says this. Proverbs 28, 7, it says, the one who keeps the law, His Torah, is a son with understanding, but a companion of glutton shames his father. Verse 9 says this, if one turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is what? An abomination. So which is it? Can we come boldly, or is our prayers an abomination? It can be both. It depends where we're at in our preparation. If you look at the tabernacle, and I don't have it all up here, you can look at the one in the back. There's only what? One gate. And that gate is in the east. There's only one way into his court. Amen? There's not many ways. John 10 says what? He's the what? He's the gate. He's the way. He's the gate. He's the sheep gate. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. We know this. He's the only way into here. But look at the first thing you come to is here, is the bronze altar, a brazing altar, an altar that's made of wood that's covered with copper. We're going to talk about that in detail later. But you're talking about wood and you're talking about bronze. Bronze or copper in the scripture represents judgment. We have to take care of our sins before we can ever even get to inside of the holies of holies, much less enter into his presence. So let's go back to Hebrews 10:19. Just want to cover a few little things to set the tone for this for next week. It says, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place, how do we enter into the holy place? By the what? The blood of Yeshua. And it says, by a new and a living way. What does that mean? We're not coming by the blood of bulls and goats anymore. This is what he's doing. This whole thing in Hebrew, this is tabernacle talk. Tabernacle concepts. It's tabernacle language. So by his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but by his blood, by a new and living way that he opened for us through a curtain or through the curtain. But what is that curtain? That is what? Through his flesh. So it's not talking about a literal curtain, but it's talking about his flesh. His flesh had to die. Our flesh is going to die. By the wages of sin is what? Death. And so guess what? For us to be able to live spiritually and physically, and however you want to say this, for immortality, there had to be a death for this to take place. In the tabernacle, because this tabernacle, everything you see represents Yeshua. Everything in it. Every curtain, every ring, every furnishing, wood, bronze, silver, gold, all of that represents Yeshua. The sacrifices, everything represents him. So when we're talking about, it says that he made a way through the curtain, that is his flesh. He made a statement in John 2:19, and he said this, Yeshua answered them and said this, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll do what? I'll raise it up. So what was the temple that you destroy this flesh, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. So you're seeing something here that in this teaching, and this was prophetic all the way back into the time of Moses. Because Moses also said something very profound to the people. There's going to be a prophet greater than me that's going to come one day. Hear him. And everything is speaking, and the Father is laying this out so that whenever he comes, we wouldn't miss it. But guess what? Most people missed it. Because they were looking not at this tabernacle, but they were looking at the temple of David. They had their eyes on something different because you got to get through the sacrifices, the cleansing, the washing, and all of that before you ever get to his presence. What this teaching is also going to be about is this, the Lord's Prayer. You know, we don't recite that, but it is also what? It's a pattern to tell us how to pray. Our Father, hallowed be your name. When you say, our Father, hallowed be your name, you're not in his presence yet. But what you're doing is you're bringing yourself to where you can enter into his presence. Now, if you live in his presence and you stay in his presence 24/7, hallelujah. I don't know too many people that do that, just being honest. There's a reason why this is there. I do know, and I don't want you to get crazy on me, right here, when we've accepted Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, we don't have to get saved over and over and over again. That's not what this is about. But even in the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Forgive me my what? Trespasses as I do what? I thought I was already saved. I ain't got to do that no more. No, we goof up sometimes. And so guess what? What does he tell you when you bring your gift to the altar? If you what? If you have aught against someone, or you know if somebody has aught against you, what does he say do? Leave your gift and go. That's why I'm saying we need to be really careful that our prayers are not an abomination. that when we have time for an emergency prayer, pray. If he doesn't hear you, he doesn't hear you. But I think too many times what we're doing is we're relying on praying and trying to enter into worship when we feel like we need to do it, and we're not preparing ourselves for it. It's like Shabbat. We start preparing Shabbat on the first day. You don't prepare Friday. If you do, you're going to have a bad one. If we don't prepare for Pesach, if you're not preparing for these feasts and festivals, we already know this about Sukkot. If there's not preparation to be done, it will go bad with us. And then you know what? Even if some things might go bad with us while we're at Sukkot, if our heart and everything is right, there's joy. But if our heart is not right, even the good things that happen, we don't have the joy. But the Father, and like I said, this is saying the key in these verses in Hebrews here is let us draw near. Let us draw near. And this is what this is about. Not just about Passover. Because see, here's another big misconception. And I will just say this amongst Messianics. They won't do Shabbat, but they'll do the feast. They'll go to Passover, and they'll definitely do Sukkot. But they're missing. You miss out on Shabbat. You miss out on the seventh day. That's preparing us for the annual feast. You see what I'm saying? This is what's happening. So I'm wanting us to make sure that our motives are pure. And I want to make sure that all of us do not take this for granted. Because this happens every year. It happens to me every year. And I'm up here confessing it. Passover will be here. And then I'll say to Tammy, it's next week. Now see, she panics after Sukkot. You know, she starts getting ready then. And what happens is life is in between. There's 6 months. But boy, these 6 months are getting faster and faster and closer to me to where it's just happening because there's so much happening amongst the body. There's so much happening out there in the world. There's so many signs of what's going on to this crazy world that we're in. I just do not want to be remiss on preparing us to think that we don't have to do, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. In other words, I can have a life. I know I'm not right, but I'm going to the throne anyway. Aaron had two sons. Well, he had four sons. Two of them, what happened? When they offered strange fire. See, here's the thing. They still got where there's two altars. But where did they get their fire from to go to make that offering? I can tell you this. Think about this, guys. Right here, I got my little finger. See this smoke right here? This is why when we're up here and we're praying before we enter into worship, I'm praying that our worship would be a sweet incense offering. Guys, and I prayed it today. I said, I hope we see it. I hope we see the smoke just rising up off the people as an incense offering. I prayed many times that off the top of this building that the people would just drive by and see just the smoke, just the incense just going up into the heavens from the heart of his people. I believe that we can do that. I believe it happened there. It can still happen. But I wanted so much. But see, his presence comes down into here and it falls on the Ark of the Covenant. But also, there was a cloud, and at nighttime, what did this turn into? Fire. So guess what? A lot of times we pray for his holy fire, and we want it, and it's awesome. But you better be on the right side of the spectrum, because the fire is the same. But if you're righteous before him, the fire will do its purpose to bring joy and warmth to us. But if it's on the wrong side, it will destroy. Because these two brothers, Aaron's two sons, thought they knew what they were doing, thought it was just okay. They had their garments on. There was something that I wrote down here that part of this is this, and I wasn't able to put it on here. The priests were told this. Before all of this stuff happened with the tabernacle, it was about clothing, consecration, and behavior. That's what the priests were told. They had to have the proper garments. They had to be consecrated. And they had to have proper behavior of how to offer everything that needed to be offered. You see what I'm saying? They couldn't just come any old way. Because whenever that happened that day, and these two brothers went in there and went and got their fire pans and offered up, they just went and grabbed fire and went before him. There was fire that came out of the holies of holies, and it zapped them, and it killed them. Because you have to do it his way. Me as a pastor, I would be so neglecting of my job to let you know that proper praise and worship, every time, we need to go through this during the week. And we need to make sure that we go through the brazen altar. There's an offering here. There's a bronze for washing. There's one to take care of sins. There's one to take care of being cleaned. You know, washing of his water. What is it? Washing of the word by the water? I mean, you can see that. The water of his word, you can see that. Both of them are still bronze. And bronze represents what? Judgment. Making sure that we are righteous before him. That we enter in. This pattern is there for us to live every day in our life. Because, you know, Kathy gave that testimony. And I appreciated her heart in giving the testimony. But this is the way we are. When something happens to our property, we start thinking about what? Our property. And not really thinking about the young man who's in the vehicle. Now, what is one man's life worth to a mailbox? A 4x4 and some concrete and some mail. All it's going to do to you is you got to put another one in. It's just a little bit of aggravation. But to the life of a person who might not be saved, eternity and separated from the Father. See, and that's what she's saying. And then when her daughter or granddaughter, when she said, well, let's pray. Oh, I didn't think about praying. You know? But I love the testimony because this is who we are. I'm just telling you, when you come here, we can look spiritual, be spiritual, and all of that. But guys, are we really? Are we just putting on the face because this is what we're supposed to do here? We sing the songs, we clap, we raise our hands. But it's just really for us to make sure that we do inventory, that we are very mindful of people rather than things. Amen? Rather than things. And what may put us out or what may hit us or what may be in our... cost us a little bit in our pocketbook. You know, today I went to get in my truck. Key wouldn't. Now, I've been fighting this thing now for a little while. I know I was supposed to already get this fixed. But guess what? The reason why I don't get my truck fixed is why? Because I need my truck. You know what I mean? I'm too busy. I need my truck. I can't turn Tammy's vehicle into a truck. If I did, I'd be at that brazen altar for a long time. I'd go start throwing all that stuff in the back of her SUV. I don't have time to even fix something. Can we all identify to that? And you know what? It ain't free. It's going to end up costing something. More time. Yeah, because, oh, you're right. I didn't take time, and it was almost, I told her, I said, I'm fixing to have to come to church and then come back and get you. But I went in, I was about 5-10 minutes, and it just wouldn't turn. So I went in, I said, we're going to pray. She said, okay. I said, no, we're going to pray. And I told her what it was about. We prayed, and I went back out there. But you know what? But it still went a couple of times. And I said, we prayed. And then the next time it turned. And I cranked that dude up. And right now the keys are still in it. Somebody wants to take it, get after it. I'm afraid to pull the keys out of it. But anyway, but it got me here on time. But see, it was still prayer. But whose fault is it that it didn't work this morning? It's my fault. Mine or Roy's. I don't know, but it's either. I got to bring my brother into it. But no, it's my fault because I didn't take time. And you know what? Now I'm trying to figure out when can I get it to where, who's going to be able to fix it and all that. It's 15 years old. I mean, it ain't, I mean, it's an awesome truck. I know. She says it with enthusiasm. I'm saying it because it's about time to get another truck. I don't, all the ladies saying boo and all the guys better work with me a little bit. But really and truly, but right now, before anything happens, I got to get an ignition. I mean, because I have an old key. Some people will say, well, what about the key? Well, I got a new key because I got a spare. So anyway, but the new one, so it's got all of it. You know where you would think the key might be wore out or what, but it's got all of it. And it doesn't. It's just the tumblers are bad. It's just I wore that thing out. It's time for a new ignition or whatever. I know it's 15 years old. I know it's old. But what I'm saying is this really and truly. And I'm putting this practical thing out here. Because really and truly, How do you know, and I'm going to end with this, how do you know that your prayers on a particular day that you pray is not an abomination? If you think about it, how do you know? So what I'm saying is it's our job and it's here to make sure that our prayers are not an abomination, that we don't fall asleep at the wheel, because we do. Because what usually happens in our physical life usually transpires in our spiritual life. And how we don't have time and we don't prepare, we don't read, we don't pray, we don't study, we don't examine ourselves, we just get in a bind and we just want to hop on up into the holies of holies and just somehow or another get right on up in His presence. And when Proverbs tells us that one who turns away his ear from his Torah, even his prayer is an abomination, in the church world as a whole, are we all in the Torah? Do we all believe that the Word is from Genesis to Revelation? Or are we just a New Testament church? Am I saying that all of their prayers is an abomination? I'm not going to tell you that. But that Word will tell you, if you turn your ear away from His Torah, where you know it and you understand it, then your prayer is an abomination. So when somebody tells you that you're not under the Torah, guys, that's our very life. We are walking in it, wrapped in it, covered in it. We wear the tzitzits to remind us of it. We have all of these things that would say, what would Yeshua do? And Yeshua, whenever He ministered, it said He went to the beginning and He ministered to His two disciples. These two that was on the road that didn't recognize Him, He said He took Him to Moses and the prophets and He showed Him of Himself. He didn't start in Matthew and He didn't start in John. You know what I'm saying? That's right. So, with this in mind, this is something that you're going to have to know to be able to teach and tell the people in the future, in the very near future, what's happening. And you're going to have to bring this up, because I am really, it's burdened me more this cycle than any other cycle about my prayers being an abomination and Him not really hearing them, because I get so busy. And I'm just throwing it out there, this is me. If it don't fit you, and you go through the steps, and you go through, and you're holy, and you got your halo is good, my halo is stained. Because I'm just telling you, because I get so busy that I shuck responsibility of what I'm supposed to do every day and being able to draw near. I don't want us to ever get to a place, the only time that you draw near is on Shabbat. That's wrong. We need to draw near every day. Because drawing near every day puts us in a place to where we can discern and hear His voice. But when we get so busy, and you know what? And in Nemeth's case, and this is why we serve an awesome Elohim. Because even when we're busy, and He knows we're busy, He still talks to us, and He ministers to us, and He tells us, and He warns us. But we can't have a lifestyle of being flare prayers. You know, we can't live a lifestyle of managing chaos. We have to have a lifestyle of being worshipers and being true sons and daughters of the King, being able to draw. That's why I did write this up here on the board. The priests were given instructions about clothing, how we prepare ourselves. They had to clothe themselves before they went into their ministry. Then they had to consecrate themselves. They had to make sure that they were good before they went into ministry. And also, they had to check their behavior. What's going on in my life that's not kosher? What's going on in my life that's sin? What have I allowed back into my eye gate, ear gate, or whatever gate before they came before Yahweh to minister? Because I'm telling you, when you get there to minister, if fire comes down, you want it to be the right fire and not the fire that destroys. Amen?